Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
February 2, 2023. So, 2-2-2023. Sounds like I'm stuttering. 2-2-2023. Anyway, it is what it is. It's Thursday. It is the second to last broadcast day of the week for the network. But got to tell you, as of the 6th, we're going to amp right on up. Whole new slew of interesting guests. Chris Graves goes to 3 days a week, all that stuff. Jack Blood sticking around. Aaron Franz sticking around on Sundays. And a lot more podcast content coming out of the network in the next week. So get ready for that. Anyway, who do I have? I've got Mike Swanson with me tonight. Now, next week, Larry Hancock's going to return, and I got to tell you, that's going to be an interesting discussion as well. We might get some updates on the JFK stuff and all that. And I found a new JFK podcast today, which I found really odd, and I might bring that guy on. Also, somebody to talk about Dr. Zelenko coming up on the show. There's going to be some other guests of interest, the return of Glenn Viklin, the return of Albert Lanier. So something old, something new, something borrowed. My eyes are blue, but I'm not going to get married again. Anyways, Mike Swanson is with me, the guy behind WallStreetWindow.com, the author of The War State, the author of Why the Vietnam War, the first in a series of three volumes that are planned on that conflict. But geez, who knows what I might talk to Mike about today. WallStreetWindow.com, be in the know, go there. However, be careful, because I don't know if you want to talk about it on air, Mike. Weird thing happened to you this week over there at WallStreetWindow.com, and maybe we don't need to discuss it, maybe we do. I don't know. Anyway, glad to have you along tonight, Mike, and how are you doing, sir? We haven't talked in a bit.
Yeah, I'm reading a disturbing story. We talk about all kinds of stuff. We'll get to the website in a moment, but sure. This is on the CNN website right now. It's their headline story. There's a balloon that's floating over the United States above commercial air traffic, and it's a Chinese spy balloon. And they're debating whether to shoot at it. And
I saw so this. Wait a minute. I saw this.
What's happening today?
I thought it was a joke, right? Somebody passed me a story, and it was not from an alt media website. It was not from a mainstream media website. And there were these people talking about it, and the way they were talking about it, I said to myself, hey, what is this? You know, somebody got a hold of something on The Onion again and went crazy. Because this idea about, you know, weaponized balloons, I thought that was something they did, like, in the 40s and 50s, because isn't that what they said when people saw UFOs? No, don't worry about it. It's a weather balloon. Well, maybe there were balloons that they were sending over from overseas, World War II.
The Roswell crash was a balloon.
Yeah, it was a balloon, right? I mean, weather balloons, swamp gas. I mean, what are we doing here, Mike? I mean, I thought we were...
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm curious if this is really a spy balloon. Why do they even need it? They got satellites. I don't understand the point of it, unless it's a really intense psychological warfare operation.
Well, they've
that
got
China's doing.
Yeah, they've got spy satellites.
Or if it's someone else.
Well, but Mike, you're right. They've got satellites. They've got TikTok. They're already in our homes. So what do they need?
Yeah, the TikTok threat.
I mean,
real.
Everybody's telling me that the tech threat from China, everybody, you know, the tech threat, I mean, apparently, you know, according to some people, they're sending all the fentanyl to us. So, you know, what is China not doing now?
Well,
balloons?
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Where I live, this China thing's been news because there's this giant in the county industrial park, one of the biggest in the country. They've been trying to get something to move into it, and there was a Ford plant that was talking about moving into it, but it had a deal with China, a Chinese company to build electric batteries.
Okay.
That's what they were going to build and employ 2,500 people, which is a lot of people. You know, the county and the city, which is in the county combined, is 100,000 people. So, you know, it's, and it's supposedly these jobs, $70,000-$80,000 or so. Well, the governor of Virginia, he came out and said he was rejecting any, economic deals with over this because of the China connection.
Okay.
He said it was a threat, and he was rejecting it. And now, apparently, you know, I don't know how close it was actually coming here, but supposedly this spot where I live and somewhere in Illinois, they're looking at one of these two locations. So they're going to Illinois, and, you know, he's kind of preparing. This is Glenn Youngkin. He's kind of preparing to run for president as a Republican.
Oh, really?
I don't think he's got a chance against Trump or the governor of Florida.
Yeah, DeSantis, right.
What's his name?
DeSantis.
DeSantis, yeah.
Yeah.
I almost said Trafficante.
No, that's the old governor of Florida. If anybody doesn't know, the mob boss that used to reside in Florida,
Or Nikki Haley, the woman in South Carolina. But I read something today. She's going to announce soon. But right. I read something today saying that she's actually not. It's a plan of hers, a chess plan, not to really get the nomination to be president, to be nominated as vice president, and she can play for either Trump or DeSantis, because the idea is she may take away votes from DeSantis, which Trump would like, and Trump is supposedly still on good terms with her. So this is the problem with the this Youngkin guy. He just got in there like 2 years ago, and he's trying to play to be the Republican nominee against these other people that are doing a lot more chess moves and
Nikki Haley, from what I can, you know, sort of gather and figure myself, might be positioning herself for a VP slot with one of them, which would be good. And then you have the double threat, so to speak, on the one ticket, because then who are these guys going to get to be the vice president? You know, Trump's not tapping on Pence again. But look, let's go back to this Chinese balloon for a second.
It is
scary.
Yeah,
well, how about if I read from the NBC news story, because it seems to be pretty generic regarding this.
Okay.
Like I said, when I first saw this come up, like in my news feed, I thought it was a joke. I mean, sometimes there are jokes that come out, and it's sort of like people take it seriously and it floats. It becomes viral for a minute. Sometimes it's, you know, Elon Musk tweeted something. Anyway, whatever it is, excuse my lack of the proper nomenclature. But, okay, let's just go to this and look at it from the way the MSM is reporting it. The U.S. military has been monitoring a suspected Chinese surveillance balloon, that has been hovering around the northern U.S. for the past few days. And military and defense leaders have discussed shooting it out of the sky, according to two U.S. officials and a senior defense official. Now, I love this because they're, you know, according to a source, and then a general label is given to the source. I always love that. But anyway, quote, the United States government has detected and is tracking a high-altitude surveillance balloon that is over the continental United States right now, end quote. Pentagon spokesman Brigadier General Pat Ryder told NBC News, quote, we continue to track and monitor it closely. Again, another quote, once the balloon was detected, the U.S. government acted immediately to protect against the collection of sensitive information, Ryder said. All right, now I'm going to pause here, and you know, maybe we don't have to read the rest of the article, but and I'll put it in the show notes and also in the chat room at Ocelli.com. for you guys to take a look at if you want. But, Mike, I stand by the question you asked initially. Little strange to me. What would be the sense of what would be the advantage of the balloon at this point? I mean, if you've got the advanced technology of TikTok, which is, you know, invading everybody's privacy, and other Chinese apps, and the banking situation where you have international banking stuff that's going on, connected computers, various hackers, free agents, etc., right? Financial information, identity theft, all of that is already taken care of. When it comes to if they actually wanted to put eyes on what's happening in the continental U.S., okay, and they didn't feel as though they could get it from our news sources, because, you know, who would trust them? If they wanted to know what was going on and they wanted to have direct surveillance, they could do it from a satellite. I'm sure there are Chinese satellites. And if not, they could probably buy space from some entrepreneur out there in order to get access. They've also been able to access various parts of the web that are supposed to be sensitive. And there are many, let's call them entrepreneurs again, who I'm sure have offered them plenty of information for all sorts of that wonderful capitalist surveillance that is available, right? Surveillance capitalism is a reality. Okay. They can just buy it. They can buy it. They have their own, they have their own spy agency. What would be the advantage of a balloon? I mean, that's almost like telling me that we're sending U2 flights right now, you know, to go and what is the,
well, yeah. it could be, I mean, it is, I think there's two pots.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Three possibilities. One, it's an accident and the balloon just straight off course into the United States. And it's kind of a joke, basically.
Well, and also to be scared because, about it. And also because you can identify something as made in China doesn't necessarily mean that China's behind it. I mean, you know, go to Walmart, you can buy plenty of stuff made in China. You know, they're not behind your dinner because you used the cookware that was made in China, right? I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, the other possibility is it's a test by China to see how the United States would react, how the military would react, and they're getting a reaction in that case. The third possibility, which is quite frightening, is that this is a prelude to invasion.
Mm. A prelude to invasion. I have another option to offer you, Mike. Go ahead. Well, no, my other option to offer you is this. This could indeed be a psychological operation which is meant to test the American people, conducted by, dun-dun-dun, the American government. They could indeed be beta testing to see what would happen if you float anything in the sky, say, and you put out statements that we have something that is foreign up in the sky. How will the people react? What will their level of awareness be if indeed there is some way that there were aerial assets deployed against the continental U.S.? Let's see what would happen. What would the media do with it? What would the people do with it? The Pentagon themselves could run a drill to see what happens, couldn't they?
Well, what if either say that's the case or the Chinese are doing it for the same reason?
Okay.
The next step would be, okay, they got one, there's one balloon up, mm-hmm. but what if there were 1,000 balloons up?
Oh, yeah. But then what would be the purpose outside of...
Then it would be scary.
Well, it could be scary. I mean, look, let's go to real scary. How about if it's up there to deliver a biological agent? And indeed, you could float balloons because they don't attract a lot of attention until they're right on top of you because they're not jet engines. You know, maybe radar doesn't pick them up the same way, etc. And you're going to actually, you know, spray things over people's heads. Oh, I know that's crazy conspiracy theory, but not like it hasn't been tried in experiments in various places. Or maybe I'm wrong about that. No, I know I'm right about that. I've read documents about this where they sprayed places, put things over people's heads and dropped them onto villages like LSD to see what would happen. You know, you know about that whole thing in France, right? Where that was done and nobody's quite sure exactly who did it, right? Mm. You've read about that, haven't you?
No. Right? What's this?
Oh, no. You never read about
when,
that?
When did this happen? When did that happen?
In, like, the 1950s. You know.
Okay.
During that time when our intelligence agencies were playing around with LSD and stuff like that, suddenly this one village in France went a little crazy. And some people have theorized that there was some special bacteria that got in the bread that had psychedelic effects on, like, an entire village of people. Others have speculated, and there's some documentation suggesting that there may indeed have been a targeted program there. The specifics are not entirely known. But you know about the attempted weaponization of drugs and things like that. I mean, MKUltra, you know about this. So during the time of that program, there's this coincidental thing that happens in this isolated village in France, right? And there's been a couple other examples where things have been sprayed, you know, like the radioactive stuff that was sprayed in the New York subways and stuff like that. Again, this is from, you know, their own documentation. We see these things. These different events have occurred where there's been an experiment to see what happens. And they discuss contingencies, like what would happen if there was an alien invasion, Project Blue Beam, this kind of stuff, right? Or you're not following me, Mike.
No, it cut off. I understand what you're saying. It cut off for a second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I get the gist of what you're saying here. It's kind of funny. I mean, I had the same reaction as you. I saw this before we started talking, and I just think it's silly.
Right.
And then, wow, it's blowing up on all the news websites. It's like the main story of the evening, it appears.
Oh, yeah, everywhere. I'm about to check and see if it's, like, trending on social media right now, because it probably is. Chinese spy balloon, right? I mean, that would be the phrase I'm looking for. That's probably a hot keyword search right now. It does seem to be. Like I said, I brought the NBC article. You pointed out it's a headline on CNN. That's two good indicators. I mean, I wonder if Fox News is carrying it. And if they are, then you have a ubiquitous story, don't you? I mean, there's a good example. Probably every local news everywhere will have in their national leads.
Conspiracies or whatever. You mentioned there's a JFK podcast you heard that's new. Is it from someone I know of, or someone totally out of the blue?
Well, he's totally new to me. His name is, I think, Mark Crumpton. I'm actually going to invite him on as a guest. He's only done a few episodes, but interesting approach. It's called something like Solving the JFK Assassination. Is what it's called. It's a little different. It's produced really well. And I just became aware of it today. So, you know, I'm actually going to invite the guy on the show to talk about it. I did invite him, by the way, onto the show tonight, but he didn't have time tonight. It was too short a notice. But I'm going to get him on as soon as I can, because very interesting approach. And, I think you'll find it interesting. That's for sure. But Chinese spy balloon, just so you know, is one of the top five trending things in the U.S. right now. It's number two, according to what I read, across all social media, and number three on Twitter, it looks like. Just below the NBA story and Galaxy S23, I guess. You know, the promoted tweets of the moment. But as far as the politics and regular news stories trending, Chinese spy balloon is trending across social media platforms. So, you know, is that merely the desired effect to see what happens when something is a unifying event or issue or story? We've noted that before, you know, the collective experience effect, right? You and I have talked about that plenty. I wonder about this. Is this an experiment? Is this a test? Or is this something, you know, that is an actual tangible threat? Good questions, but weird to me. It's a balloon, Mike. I don't know why.
It is weird. I mean, you know, when I think back to the past couple of years, we never really have spoken. I don't think we've had me and you haven't had a conversation about the UFOs, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was a curiosity a couple of years ago. On 60 Minutes, they had people from the Air Force,
right?
Pilots saying that they saw UFOs. And they interviewed a person that was a part of some Air Force intelligence project to evaluate whether the UFOs were real.
Right.
That got on podcasts, and I listened to a couple of them, and he would make the statement that these unidentified flying vehicles, I don't think they called them UFOs, they call them something else.
Yeah, they call them UAPs now. They call them UAPs, Unidentified Aerial Phenomena now. That's the official terminology.
Yeah. That's the official designation. Mm-hmm. He made these comments, I heard, that they couldn't determine whether they were terrestrial. And then he's made out, he wouldn't answer whether that meant they're aliens or they're from like another dimension and popped here somehow. And so the thing to me is, I don't know. It's very, to me, it's really suspicious. What are they doing?
Well, yeah, here we go.
Talking all this stuff for.
And again, Larry Hancock was ahead of the trend, right? Because he put out that book Unidentified a few years ago. And, you know, after his book's out again, you know, suddenly those guys do make the media rounds. Then they end up on 60 Minutes. And the next thing you know is the Pentagon is just dropping videos saying, here's something we can't identify. And the point they're trying to make is, we're not saying that it's aliens, but we're also not saying that we know what the hell it is either. You know, it's just an unidentified.
Which seems like a move to mm-hmm. What's the point of that? To confuse people? To make you do what?
Well, to leave
worry
the,
about it?
Well, to leave the open question.
To lead you where? Huh?
See, it's not to lead you. It's to leave the open question. Because most people already have an idea in their
I guess it makes Space Force a necessity in people's minds.
Well, there you go. See, look, it justifies Space Force as, and it is, Space Force is a new branch of the military, right? So it justifies their existence and gives people yet another open question that they can do a Rorschach test with. What do you see in this ink blot? You know, some people say, well, I see aliens. Other people say, I see experimental aircraft that's probably developed by DARPA. Well, you know what I see? Nothing. It's a blurry thing. All left up to your interpretation. Why? Keep you busy. Keep you busy with anything where you could use, you know, your ability to think critically and to attack something. You know, hey, is the Earth flat? You know, Mike, I mean, some people found that attractive. The Earth is flat, Mike. Wow. And somebody's going to take me out of context now. I don't believe that. But anyway, I mean, remember when that just sort of emerged again? You know, like out of nowhere there was literally the Flat Earth Society after we joked about it for years in the JFK research community, you know, comparing more.
Well, they had I didn't go to it, but they had a conference like in North Carolina, 90 minutes away from me, and 1,000 people showed up a couple years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Because, well, look, we'll give these guys Flat Earth, they'll be attracted to that. Let's give these other guys UAPs. They'll be attracted to that. Let's put Tucker Carlson on the air to say the CIA had something to do with Kennedy's murder. I have no proof of that, and I haven't read the documents, but that's what I say after he was briefed by the CIA. Like, you know, whatever. We got a buffet.
Yeah, he said someone told him that they read the documents and they proved that the CIA killed him.
Yeah, right.
I don't believe it.
Well, I've been through it. I don't know where he's getting that. I keep asking everybody else, where is Carlson getting this conclusion from?
Sadly, some people are accepting or grasping onto that.
But that's my point, is that some people will accept that. It's really an open statement with no proof, with no real narrative. He just throws that out there, right? And then acts as though he's supporting transparency and the truth by putting Larry Schnapp on the air. You know what I'm saying? It's all part of the game.
It's bad.
It's all part of the game. It's meant to keep you distracted. So, you don't like that? That's fine. I got UFOs for you. Excuse me, UAPs. I mean, Larry is doing serious work on that, Hancock, with that group, you know. He got involved. I don't know if you know about all that, but with the UAP group he's working with the university and everything. it's serious research, because as he studied and unidentified and demonstrated to people, the national security apparatus did legitimately react to things mm-hmm. that were in that category, right? So, you know, you have to take a look at it. Look, the national security apparatus doesn't react to nothing. So something happened. What was it? Well, you know, Larry leaves that open for you and tells you about documentation and different weird events, especially stuff that happened to be occurring around nuclear facilities. I mean, there is something there to be examined, yes, but meanwhile, Mike, is anybody paying attention to what's actually going on currently? Is anybody, you know, looking to do anything about the things that are, you know, affecting us in our daily lives?
Well,
see, that's the
thing. I'll tell you.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you one of the things that's going on that no one's talking about.
Go ahead.
So inflation exploded over the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, the Federal Reserve started to raise interest rates
mm-hmm.
to stop it. And historically, the Fed, to stop inflation, has to raise interest rates higher than the annualized inflation rate,
mm-hmm.
which currently is at, I'm looking it up so I get it, is at 6.5% at the moment.
Yeah. Well, see, now wait a minute.
I'm not going to argue whether.
No, I'm not going to argue either. I'm just going to point out.
That's just.
Well, hang on. I'm sorry, Mike, but I got to point out when somebody throws that 6%, oh, and inflation was at 4%, and it's at 6%, and it might go to 7%, and I go, where? What? Because do you know of anything that's only gone up by 6% in the past year? Honestly, Mike, has something gone up by 6% that
today,
you know of?
I went to a gas station auto place.
Okay.
I had to get an auto oil change, right?
Okay.
And the headlights were out. They fixed that.
I bought a battery last week too. No, hey, look, I bought a battery last week, right? A battery, a generic battery for an older car, right? And 2 years ago, I know how much that cost because I had to buy another generic battery, very similar for an older car. The difference between that very same battery 2 years later is not 6%, okay, Mike? I'm just saying. It hasn't gone up by 6%. No, but do you know what the percentage it's gone up by, though, since 2 years ago, that battery?
300.
No, not 300, but... look, if you want to talk about the increase, how would you gauge if you have something that was $100 and is now $150? You'd say that it went up
50%.
By 50% because you start with the original figure, right? And then the percentage of the original figure is what you say it increased by, right? I mean, just so we have our terms straight. That's the way it is.
Yeah,
so
50%.
Okay. So in that case, I can tell you that battery is up by 40%. That's the actual increase in that very same battery 2 years later. My food cost is also up at about that, 40% in general across the board. I know some people can eat things differently.
My grocery bill has gone up that much.
Okay, so your grocery bill's gone up that much. You went for an oil change. What was the price? Do you know, I mean, you went for an oil change probably 2 years ago. Do you know what the price difference was? I mean, do you track that? Do you know?
I mean, that seems like double. That's probably about double.
Probably
40%. It's at least 50%. It's more than 50%.
It's at least 50%. I mean, if I told you, Mike, that nothing that I have observed inflationary has gone up less than 30% in the past 2 years, you probably wouldn't argue with me, would you? As far as things that I purchase.
No.
I know. Mike, I'm not trying to make an argument with you. I'm trying to just come to a consensus between you and I. So,
I know it's worse than these government figures.
Well, that's what I'm saying is what in the hell has only gone up 6%? Because 6% would not bother me as much as 40 and 30 and 50 does. You know what I mean? So that's the big question I always have with these numbers. But anyway, you were explaining about the Fed and how And they're telling us now, by the way, as far as I can tell in financial media, maybe you're seeing something different. And I want to get to that in the next half hour about what you're seeing in the financial media. But as far as I can tell, they're saying that inflation is cooling down, right? It's slowing down. I don't see that. What does it mean? It's not rising at the speed it was rising at? Perhaps.
Well,
go ahead.
There's a reason they're saying these things.
Uh-huh.
That's the news that no one's talking about. So,
do you want to tell them what that is after we take a little break, or do you want to just continue?
Well, we can take a break, sure.
All right, let's do that. Mike Swanson is with me, and now we've gone into finance, but who knows? We might return to UAPs and the Chinese spy balloon before this hour is over, but stick around, because the Ocelli Effect will be back after this.
State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never before published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply. Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Ocelli.com.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, she knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination looked into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
For as little as $50 a month, you can buy an ad for your business, podcast, book, or any message you want heard on one or more of the Ocelli.com shows. To find out more, contact ads@Ocelli.com. That's ads@Ocelli.com. Be heard with us. Revelation through conversation. Ocelli.com. Do you like history, real history, that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia, by author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War, by author Mike Swanson.
Revelation through conversation.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Ocelli.com.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're tuned into the Ocelli Effect.
Revelation through conversation.
Second segment of the Ocelli Effect, and I got to calm down because I've been all over the place, and I did not let Mike Swanson talk too much there because it gets me so mad, and it's not Mike's fault. But when somebody cites this 6% inflation stuff, I almost want to scream. I mean, look, you guys out there, think about it for a second. I mean, forget me, forget what I buy. Oh, Chuck, you buy crap, and, you know, maybe you don't eat the right foods. You should, you know, buy the right foods, and... All right. And you rent a house. You should own your house, Chuck. I know. I can't afford to own a house. I got an old car. I eat food. Maybe not all of it is what you'd advise. But either way, let me ask you something. You guys out there, are you paying 6% inflation from 2 months ago, 3 months ago, last year, 2 years? There's no way in hell. No way in hell. I went and looked at the price of a rental in New Jersey just this week. Because I'm kind of homesick for Jersey. I'd love to be able to move back there. $3,000 for places that a few years ago I could have gotten for $1,000. Triple the rent. Not like the best of neighborhoods either. I mean, like, not the worst, but not the best neighborhood. $3,000 to rent a small place. I can literally rent three places here in Georgia and still have money in my pocket as compared to renting the same space in New Jersey. So I know in, you know, and yeah, okay, that's New Jersey, but all across the country, I'm not hearing anything any different. Nobody's suffering 6% inflation on anything. Maybe it's just me. I mean, I know the price of stamps didn't go up that much recently. It went up, but it didn't go up much. Anyhow, enough out of me. Back to Mike Swanson, the guy behind WallStreetWindow.com. He was telling us about the Fed and what they usually do regarding slowing or stopping inflation and the bleeding. And yet, here we are again. Be in the know. Go to WallStreetWindow.com. It's not just about Wall Street. But before we're done, I'm going to ask Mike a little more about the finance and also about something going on at the website. So stick around, and I'm going to shut up now and let you get back to it, Mike, because you were explaining the very typical and normal way that the Fed deals with inflation, right?
Yeah, they raise interest rates, and they raise those. They get those rates higher than this annualized inflation rate, and then the inflation goes down. Well, they raised interest rates last year a couple times, 3/4 of a point. The interest rates went to zero in 2020, and I know they were blaming people getting payouts from or money from the government, mm-hmm. or some people were as the cause of inflation, supply chains as the cause of inflation, all these different the war in Russia or Ukraine,
Ukraine,
all these different things.
Yeah,
but
your TPP,
the reality is,
yeah.
When they make interest rates go to zero, you're going to end up with a lot of inflation. Mm-hmm. And so the Fed started to raise rates by 3/4 of a point last summer. And then in December, they got to 50 basis points. And now, just yesterday, they did their first rate hike of the year. And they only raised it by 1/4 of a point, And they say they're going to do it by another quarter of a point in March, and that'll be it. So the stock market is all excited about this, and it's been rallying now so far this year, because when the Fed lower, when interest rates are low and there's more inflation, that means more money going into the stock market. So now the stock market's been going up when it was falling, you know, last year when the Fed was raising rates by, you know, 3/4 of a point. Now it's going up, and there's the media. A lot of people are celebrating this in the financial media.
Right.
And, but ultimately though, what no one is saying and what this means is that what the Federal Reserve is doing is it's ending its fight against inflation. That's what it's really doing.
Right. And did, by the way, did all their increases equal 6% as far as, cause is it, this is a purely out of ignorance question. Is the idea.
You mean the Federal Reserve rate?
Yeah. Cause is the idea.
It's 4.75 right now.
Okay. So that's where they're at. Now, theoretically, and this again, I'm not a money guy. You're somebody who has worked in the money industry. You know better. So I'm asking you honestly. I'm not trying to be, you know, sarcastic
here. Yeah, sure.
The effort to do this is meant to make things a little more expensive so that it slows down purchases, right? So therefore, you know, they can't just keep jacking up. Because, look, based on anything, supply and demand, it's about tolerance, right? So if people are willing to pay a higher rate on any product, any commodity, you can charge more. This is the idea. But if it starts to cost more to move it around or to purchase it because your interest rates are up and therefore your banking rate is up, then that means it costs more. So it slows down the pace at which people can just continue to jack things up. And theoretically, it might even drag the prices backward a little, right? A little adjustment. Like it does in the housing market where like things go way up because things are selling quick and easy. So you can jack up prices. When houses aren't selling, what happens to the housing price? It comes down. So when the housing price goes down, the rental price goes down, right? But it doesn't often go down easy. It goes up real easy, but doesn't go down easy. So this is an attempt to stop things from just being, well, let's push it a little more. Let's push it a little more. And it doesn't matter whether it's a can of soda or a house. The people that have these things to sell, I mean, this general economic principle here, right? I mean, or am I off?
No, that's generally a good simple way to look at it. And the houses are a simple example because when people buy a house, the rate of interest has a huge impact on how much they can afford.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they're borrowing money to buy the house and the interest rate is the cost of money. Well, it impacts the cost of financing. So
right. And in general,
interest rates,
nobody ever talks about it on these financial shows, but in general, the cost of housing is a key issue because everybody needs to live somewhere. So if your mortgage costs more, if your rent costs more, you automatically, you know, they assume that everybody is going to want a place to live. So automatically, everybody is paying more if the general atmosphere is that all these prices are up. So the first thing usually is that needs to be slowed down, and this is one of the ways to do it. And then it does affect borrowing so that people can invest or you know, you borrow money in order to manufacture things, and then you pay back the loan because you don't work with your own capital, right? So it slows down a bunch of stuff like that where people are going to take advantage of the fact that things are selling very easily and very quickly. Okay, so when the Fed does this, it usually means that they are having an effect which causes the tension to come back the other way, or at least to stop rising. Now, the fact that they're saying they're going to stop here is the most interesting thing because they haven't successfully stopped inflation, have they, Mike?
No, what has happened, in which they're fooling people with this, mm-hmm. is that the rate of inflation, the rate of these price increases, has slowed down.
Right.
Over the past, very slowly, it has slowed down over the past 6 months.
Right.
And yesterday, when the Federal Reserve, you know, said what they're doing, and then the chairman held a press conference, he described this slowdown in they like to use, create new phrases, to basically get people to think what they want, or it's almost like it's propaganda.
Right.
So this slowdown in the rate of the price increase, he called disinflation.
Disinflation. That's a new one to me. Disinflation.
Which, all right. there's a, you know, the opposite of inflation is called deflation.
Yeah.
Deflation.
Right.
Disinflation is a new term.
Right. So what did he explain? Did he give a definition? Did he actually explain what that means? No.
No, they're not going to do that. Not. It's just a new phrase for the listener to hear that and think that inflation is being fought and defeated, you know. No. But what it really is describing is a slowdown in the increase of inflation, which economists think will continue into May or June,
right.
But after that, many of them think it's just going to go right back up.
Well, yeah, okay.
Or you know, it's so. But why is the Fed doing this then? Well, they're scared that if they increase interest rates much more, that things would be slowed down too quickly, and people are in so much debt, mm-hmm. and companies are in so much debt. There's so many so-called zombie companies out there, mm-hmm. that they can't borrow money to expand because they're in so much debt that all they can do is finance their debts. You know, they're just sitting there. They can't. They're just.
Right. So what
it's
it
called
does,
zombie companies, they can't expand.
Yeah, it's
they
could expansion.
Go bankrupt. You know.
Yeah. Well, they don't go bankrupt because they still have too high of a debt level. So what the thing is that they just stop expanding, and then they're now in the business of servicing their debt as opposed to upgrading, increasing, expanding business or expanding products, things like this. So you have stagnation, right, with certain companies. See, now I should watch when I use a term like that.
Entire industries are just stagnant.
Stagnated.
Companies,
right?
Sectors of the cup stagnating.
Yeah.
They're stagnating. They're dying.
Right.
Slowly. And while it's a huge portions of the economy that are like this. I mean, it's astronomical,
mm-hmm.
How much of corporate America is like this. And one of the effects of this is that, you see companies get bought, that are in this situation by conglomerates, so-called private equity companies,
right.
or bigger companies, right? And what's happening is that much of the economy is much of corporate America is stagnating, and the wealth or the ownership of all these companies is getting more and more concentrated into fewer and fewer giant firms or capitalists or whatever you want to call them. Right. But the Fed is scared to keep raising rates much more from here, because they don't want to repeat what happened in 2008, basically.
See, now that's the odd thing.
And have a debt implosion. So
right.
we're just like,
but that's,
stuck. No one really knows exactly what's going to happen.
Well, right. And here's where I have what I think is probably the best question I've ever asked you regarding finance then. Because I'm curious, is this a new way? Because you and I, we've gone over this a lot of different ways over the years. But you and I have discussed the boom and bust cycles, right? When things go bust, this is an opportunity for the already, you know, fluid capitalist to come in and buy up things, assets on the cheap, right? They can come in and they can buy a company that's in trouble because they're just in a circumstance of servicing their debt. They can go ahead and buy a bankrupt company because the assets have to be, you know, liquidated, this kind of thing. Okay. That's the way it used to work. Is this maybe a new way of doing what used to be called corporate raiding, where instead of having them, you know, die and crush the company and then carve up the assets, why not just let them fall into zombie disrepair, and then they can become part of much larger conglomerates that assume the debt, right, because they can afford it. Okay, like I'll give you the example of those radio stations that I got knocked out of, right? They're all these little tiny companies. They get bought up by, let's just use iHeartRadio because that's where I think they're all going to end up anyway, although there's another company in between buying them. They get bought up by a larger company who says, look, we're going to take care of all the debts, and we're going to assume ownership. They become part of a media group, whatever. That's the media. But this principle applies to any business. Now, you know, your company that makes cookies, I'm going to take it over. It's going to become part of something that eventually we're going to, you know, make part of Kraft, or we're going to make part of Kellogg's, or we're going to make part of, you know, whatever. The point is that, is this a new way of letting a company fall into disrepair so that it can be purchased and consolidated, so that we don't have to go through the pain of the giant crash all at once, and then people pick up the pieces? They can just pick up the zombie, give it new life, and then combine it into a new body of a greater corporate whole. Is this a new strategy, or is this an old one, Mike?
I think this sort of thing's been going on in one fashion or another. I don't think it's that much different than the old corporate raiders that you're talking about.
Okay.
They would issue a lot of them would. They would issue junk bonds to finance the raiding that they're doing a lot of times. And these guys do the same thing. In fact, but your description, like the iHeartMedia thing, that's basically what's going on. But what also happens is that these companies, they will take on debt when they purchase the other companies up. And then they can become zombies them too, eventually. And also, often, well, I'll give you a concrete example.
Well, but they can let part of their company. See, but here's the thing. You got a giant conglomerate like iHeartRadio. They can turn around and bundle together just like they did with the toxic assets in the, real estate, right? And in the mortgage game, they bundle up a bunch of stuff. And let's just say theoretically, they decide we're going to make AM radio the loser part of our company. So look, we now file taxes that say, we lost, actually, by all these purchases and acquisitions, we lost $100 million. And maybe they did indeed lose that $100 million. Now, they absorb that, and they don't become a zombie because they're not overwhelmed by $100 million debt because they're taking in more money than that easily. Okay? But they get to write it off, and now that gives them certain benefits and privileges because they took a loss. Look, in the franchise business, which I had great exposure to through ExxonMobil. I had great exposure to the regular franchise and also the sub and co-branding franchises, right? Where you bring in a module or something else and you add it to another thing. So I see how this works on a micro level. If you have a guy who owns, let's just say, you know, two booming, extremely great gas stations, almost always when the company decides to hand them another booming great gas station, right? Let's just say it could be within any of these systems, by the way. I saw it done with Shell, Sunoco, ExxonMobil. I forget the other one that I saw them do it with. But all across the board, I think the group that became Texaco or whatever, all of those groups, they'll turn around and say, look, here's a really good one, and here's a dog. Now, you can take this business and turn it around, or you can hang on to it. It's a dog. It's a loser. You can't even really pay your employees, and you get to write this one off. You know what I mean? This is your almost like your built-in tax shelter, your built-in business privilege shelter, because with banks and everything else, you know, because you're in a depressed area or there's an economic problem with the particular area, the location of this thing, they turn around and they hand you one bad asset to go along with the other two that you get a good deal on. See, you take the dog along, you know, you take the dog and here's some fleas to go with it, right? So the dog's a nice thing to have if he's healthy, but here's some fleas. You can either treat the fleas or you can sit there and say, look, I got a dog with fleas. So my dog is not as strong, IRS. My dog is not as strong, people that want to come and, you know, make it difficult for me to do business one way or another, regulators, etc., right? I mean, you even get funding to repair these things or to build them up, or you get tax breaks because you're in an urban enterprise zone, etc. So what it is that you take some bad assets and you fold it into a bigger thing so that every single aspect of your greater corporate entity, whether you're building a chain of gas stations or you're, you know, consolidating media companies or whatever else, you bring in some bad assets to go with your good ones. Now, is it possible that this is what's happening on a massive scale so that Amazon and Alphabet can buy up, you know, here's a winner, here's a loser, here's some little newspapers, here's the Washington Post, here's the... Is that what's happening? Or, again, I'm asking this not because I think I know exactly what's going on, but because it's what it looks like to me. Is this what's happening?
Well, I think there's a lot of that going on everywhere, but I don't, mm-hmm. you know, the one thing about this kind of topic, it's so... There's, you know, it's so complicated to know, and no one really knows everything that's going on, you know. There's no one trend, explaining everything, but, one thing I want to emphasize, I just want to give a concrete example.
Sure.
This process, a lot of times when these companies buy up another company, they will cut costs, the new, acquire, they want to increase the profit margins, and they'll do that by laying people off, finding ways to do it. And sometimes they have to do this because, as I mentioned, they've taken on debt themselves
right.
to finance this buying of, or merger that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So services can go down. Business can operate with skeleton crews.
Right.
And so forth. So, and all this sounds like we're just speaking about possible jobs or economics, but it's where it, this can kill people.
Oh, absolutely.
That might sound crazy, but I'll give a concrete example where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And no one, saying it like this,
mm-hmm.
But there's a hospital in the city I live in. The same company owns the hospital in a neighboring city.
Right.
And when emergency crews go and take patients to these hospitals,
mm-hmm.
they're told that the hospitals are full and that they're on what they call diversion. And they have to go somewhere else.
Right.
Or wait until there's space. So if they have to go somewhere else, it can be an hour long drive. If they wait, they could be waiting for 5 or 6 hours. And I can go to the hospital now, to the emergency room,
mm-hmm.
and take a picture. And there would probably be 3 or 4 emergency vehicles sitting in the parking lot
mm-hmm.
with people who can't get into the emergency room.
Right.
Well, the hospital is saying that this is going on because of COVID, because other people are disrupting their business
mm-hmm.
and so forth.
Right.
The reality is they don't have enough nurses in these hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough people working in them. And they pay lower rates than, you know, hospitals an hour away or wherever.
Right.
So it's hard for them to even get people to work in them.
Right.
And, they could lose their life, but maybe, it's possible, you know, if people complain enough or something happens that they could if they don't fix the situation, they could get in some sort of trouble, lose their license.
It depends on what state you're in. It depends on what state you're in, though, Mike, because...
Right, but...
Like, we have a good Samaritan law here in Georgia, but to try and have any medical personnel be held liable for something like, you know, not taking you to a hospital when you're having a heart attack or something like that, or they discourage you. I mean, they literally tell you, look, the emergency room there is so full that you might be there for 20 hours. You know, I'm having a heart attack. You're asking me to make a decision. Should I go wait for 20 hours with my heart attack? I'll just tell my heart to wait, you know. This is a situation that's emerging, and I think it is a whole lot more due to corporate consolidation than it is due to a problem with the pandemic, the epidemic, the endemic,
et cetera. Well, that's what it's about. Yeah. It's all about the problems from the corporate consolidation. So these two hospitals were independently owned at one time. Then 20 years ago about, a company called LifePoint took them over.
Right.
And then this LifePoint company, which is a hospital chain, it then got bought out by a company called Apollo Management.
Okay.
Apollo Global Management.
Right.
And then they sold it to other companies. So it just goes on, you know, it just goes on and on and on.
And
more consolidation. And the people owning it, you know, who the hell knows, you know, where the corporate off, you know, the real people in charge, they're not here.
Right.
You know, who knows where they are.
You can't get a hold of the guy who's in charge of the hospital directly and try and get a hold of his boss. Good luck. No, it's the same thing that's happened here. And they're considering closing down a hospital in my city right now, where the one hospital is much more conveniently located to the poor neighborhood, honestly, and the other is not, and they're talking about closing the one in the poor neighborhood, and the reality is it's because it's not as profitable as the other one. It's, you know, and it's not because of the level of service that needs to be addressed here. So here we go.
This trend is going on all over. It's not just where I live, so...
Right.
130 rural hospitals are owned by companies like this.
Right.
30% of them are at risk of just closing up.
Yeah, because if it's just cost-benefit analysis, this is what you get. See, but that's what I'm saying here, is that, you know, when it comes to the hospital game, they're not even willing to take the write-offs anymore, right? Because it's endless, the level of write-offs. When you look at other businesses, some of them will take the toxic assets and go into write-offs. But look, we started with Chinese spy balloon, and we end up with hospitals, which, by the way, somebody in my chat room right now is a hospital worker who basically says the pandemic is just an excuse. It is about staffing, and it is about
that's
the fact
what I
that,
think. Yeah. That's what they're telling people, that, well, the nurses all don't want to work because of the pandemic. They don't want to get the shot, but they're just not paying people.
Well, that's the thing.
Comparable wages.
Well, and then
they're asking the nurses to do the job three of them would have done or something, you know, or five of them or 10 of them.
And there you go. And there's no, you know, and then everybody goes, well, it's a free market and blah, blah, blah. But here's the problem. If the free market and the next five hospitals that are anywhere near driving distance from where you live, if you're a nurse or something, if the next five hospitals are all owned by the same company, then they are competing with the wages of themselves. So they can control exactly which hospital gets squeezed, which one is short-staffed, which one is not. And they manipulate it so that, well, now this hospital is really not serving the community. Of course it's not. You made it that way. I mean, this is literally, it's like, well, you know, things are just not going well here because you made it that way. I mean, this is what's happening across the board. And like I said, with the various businesses you and I have talked about, it's not relevant as to whether it actually serves the public or whether it's something that is needed, or it's something that is, you know, just really desirable in the market. All of that is irrelevant. It's about cost benefit. And when you have a larger concern in charge of multiple assets, they start doing what? Consolidating and pruning their corporate structures. And this is the way it goes. And what do you end up with is one consolidated place that you have to travel to, or one consolidated concern that feeds you all your news, or one, it's so on. And so it goes. But back to this spy balloon, Mike. You know, I'm also reading that they don't really seem to know where it is. Now, according to some reports, it might have been over Montana. And it's interesting because it leads me more and more to think that this thing might not even be real. Or if it is real.
Yeah, if
real,
they don't know where it is, then is it even real?
Well, that's the
a
thing,
good question.
You know, and if they show us a picture,
did
is it
pop?
The actual picture?
Maybe it popped.
Did, well, you know, somebody pointed out maybe, you know, if it was over Montana at one point, maybe somebody just, you know, took out their gun and took it down. I mean, if it's only so many miles up in the air, somebody could take a shot at it. You know, the Chinese balloon. Is this not a great metaphor for what's happening altogether, right, in the world? Look up at the sky. Pay attention to that. Don't pay attention to the faulty numbers we're giving you. Because, after all, they're not going to make sense. We're going to disinflate inflation now. Disinflation? Yeah, okay, that's a great new term. But here we go again. It's very much like a couple of years ago, all of a sudden they started to say that people that were involved in conspiracy examination, research, conspiracy theorists, were all of a sudden now described as conspirators. And I always thought that a conspirator, based on the nomenclature, meant somebody who participated in the criminal conspiracy. I thought that was the point of it. But now somebody who talks about it is also a conspirator. Interesting how these things get transposed from one place to another. And interesting how nomenclature becomes reality. So, all right, that's my ultimate point here. But, Mike, is there anything else? And, oh, we didn't even talk about your website and what happened over there. Weird thing you sent me. Do you want to discuss that real fast before we get out of here? Because I think this is highly relevant and interesting. What happened? Very strange case. Do you want to talk about that a little?
Oh, well, I've been getting a lot of traffic, and we've talked about this on your show in the past, from an app called Newsbreak.
Yeah, the very
about
popular,
local news stories.
Right, and we talked about how that works and how these consolidated apps wind up picking up news from different places, and they bring it and deliver it straight to people's phones or tablets or whatever, and they're very popular. Anyway, you were getting a ton of traffic over there through your news, your news feeds that, was bringing people on over to Wall Street Window, basically, because they were clicking on your stories. And there it is, right? And it was humming along, and you're doing a new business based on that. You also have another business coming up, which I'm real excited about. I don't know when you're going to talk about that publicly, but I'm looking forward to talking about it. But this is, you know, part of the direction you've been going in, getting out of the financial markets a bit and getting into this, right? So you're doing that, and you're covering local stories to your area in Virginia. I mean, you know, stop me when I'm wrong, Mike. It so happens that this story came up and something happened really close to you, nearby, right?
Well, someone I know, they got a racist letter in the mail sent to them, you know, and like threatening them almost.
Pretty, yeah, pretty crazy
and,
letter. I saw the letter.
Yeah, it looked crazy and deranged. And they put out a reward for anyone who could, you know, find out who wrote it and lead to their arrest. And I put the letter up on a blog post and
right.
made a little story about it.
Now, just to be clear, and let me just clarify for the audience, right, is that, look, this is a very racist, hateful letter. This guy is just a local fixture that was the target, and he gets this thing in the mail. It looks like it's written by a Class A serial killer, I got to tell you. I mean, seriously, think about the way that thing is written. Doesn't it look like, somebody who can't stop rocking back and forth probably wrote this thing? And, I mean, that's what it looks like. And it's like,
or they
you
want
know,
you to think that.
Well, or somebody who wants you to think that, but that's the appearance.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of town. Nobody wants you here. Said some disparaging personal things. I'm not going to give all the details, but get the hell out of town. Nobody wants you here. This kind of thing. And the guy is like, you know, just a local guy who happens to interact with the public. So he himself offered a reward, right? $1,000 if somebody can help me track down who this is and they get arrested and they get punished for making a terroristic threat against me, right? I mean, it's the kind of thing that happens when people have an issue and they need information from the public. They offer a reward, right? Help me find the person that did this. Help me find the person that did that. Help me find
and
the
I'll
person
tell you,
that knows
it them. Actually yeah. works. Now,
it does
now,
work.
I don't know what's happened in this case, but a friend of mine was robbed there, and they put a reward out and right. got all kinds of information for $500, I think.
Yeah, robbery. Did you see something? You know, somebody was assaulted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've seen other stories where somebody's assaulted, right? Like on the street or on their front lawn.
Yeah, so the rewards work. But what happened was after I posted this story, you know, I think I'm under some sort of suspension or something because I'm not getting traffic. They're not linking to my website anymore. So this story was too much or people complained about it or something.
Well, I wonder.
Something happened.
Well, you know what I wanted to say to you, and I was going to call you this week, and I didn't get a chance to, but I'll tell you what I was going to tell you off air right now, which is I think that what happened here is that Newsbreak felt as though you distributed something that is, akin to hate speech, because this letter and this circumstance is pretty hateful. So for somebody to not really examine what's going on here, they might think that you're distributing harmful stuff. You're distributing hate speech. And therefore, they have, you know, directed their people to, suspend your connection. I'm wondering if there's somebody you can go to, that's in charge of this act.
Well, I can't find any way to contact him. There's no...
Okay.
Nothing. I mean, they don't have an email address. They don't have anything on their website. So it's just, I don't know what to do except, but they haven't totally banished me because this is kind of strange, but what they've been doing is, you use them, right? Or you have?
Yes, yes. I used it.
Okay.
Kim uses them. Yeah.
Yeah, so you see the headlines. Mm-hmm. What they'll do is they'll print my headlines.
Right.
You know, but they won't include the leak anymore.
Okay. That,
so if I write a story, you know, about something, they stick it in their feed without the link, which is kind of weird because I don't know, you know, I don't know how that's not a good, sending dead links to people doesn't make much sense to me.
Well,
so I'm hoping it's just a temporary thing.
I really hope it's a temporary thing for your sake, but, you know, bad news, if my thought process works. look, a lot of people don't bother to read beyond a headline. A lot of people don't.
No, I think you're probably right. That's probably either an algorithm did that or a person. You're probably correct.
And I'm thinking that an algorithm did this in order to, reduce it for now. Right now, you're just considered to be too hot of a site. You know, there's a whole list of things that, say, Google, automatically downgrades in your search results, right? I mean, you know about this. Based on certain keywords, if you use certain words in a headline of a post, they automatically suppress your distribution on searches, right? With certain keywords.
Sure.
So I think that's the kind of thing that's happened here is that an algorithm said you have these hateful things in your headline. So they're still going to carry the headlines, but they've killed your presence. That, you know, and I'm hoping it's temporary for sure. But I think that that's exactly what went on here is that the algorithm recognized it as something very hateful, and so it was triggered to say, okay, stop sending people toward this. And yet it's still using
headlines. Well, I was wary. I almost didn't even write the thing. I was kind of wary even to do it.
Right.
Because one thing, it's like, I mean, the news reports nonstop about crime and murder, you know, and wrecks.
Right.
Nonstop about these things, and they'll show you that, but they don't. They rarely show you dead bodies,
right?
You know that's so there is kind of a limit or line to it. So in a way, the article that I wrote sort of crossing showing the people the letter, I was probably the mistake.
Well, that's probably it. Because if you had said that there was hateful speech in the letter, but didn't show it to people.
Yeah.
Then they could say, well, look, it's a headline discussing that as opposed to something. Like, in other words, I think the algorithm that's meant to stop people from, spreading actual hateful rhetoric, got purposed against you because the algorithm doesn't know the difference between I'm showing people something and I'm showing it to them to encourage it. That's what I think happened.
Right.
'Cause that happened to me, with YouTube, where I got community violations for things where it was like, but that's not what we were talking about, and I couldn't identify what the keyword was.
So frustrating is in most of these cases, you can't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
To rectify them. And I had a problem where I actually was able to talk to someone with Google, and I was advertising on YouTube, and they decided to stop allowing my ads, and I couldn't figure out why, but because it's paid advertising, I was able to talk to somebody.
Right.
And the person told me that they had, and they couldn't override this, they told me that their computer algorithm, they didn't use those words, but it's what it was,
right,
had identified my website as pushing drugs on people.
Right.
And I wasn't doing that. But what I had done,
you wrote about
was
the cannabis
I had written
business.
Articles about cannabis stocks,
right,
stocks on the stock market. 'Cause for a couple of years, they were a hot thing.
Right.
And, I ended up deleting all those articles. And after I deleted them, everything went back to normal. So
it's
crazy, crazy.
But see, you can't even mention cannabis because you haven't been. See, if you were CNN, right, you'd get whitelisted. So you can do, Sanjay Gupta's 8-week expose on cannabis. You can do that if you're CNN and you have the corporate whitelist. But, I mean, Mike, no offense at all, but, I mean, you're not big enough for them to have to contend with, right? So they don't, they won't whitelist you and say, well, you can write about this stuff, because it's not the same as selling it, or trying to push it or whatever. They just see that just cannabis came up or some keyword in the phrases you were using came up too often. Boom. And I think that's what happened here, except they probably struck on some sort of, part of the algorithm that's meant to prevent hate speech. And they probably now have misidentified you as somebody who was actually distributing hateful literature, is what happened here. So, I mean, that's my best guess. Again, do I claim to be the guy who understands every single aspect of this? No. But I'm just saying, from observations, from my own experiences, that's the best explanation I can come up with. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're 100% right. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Well, look, we'll have more to discuss. Are you going to be with us next week?
Yeah, I'll be here.
All right. Well, look, I took Mike a little bit overtime here today, and I'm glad that you did this with me, Mike. I know you're a little tired and everything, and it's been a long week. It's been a long month, really. But we're moving forward here, and glad to have you. Glad you're going to be with us next week. Larry Hancock will join us, and I know I have a plan in the hopper there. It's going to be a little different, the discussion. We finished the two-part series on the new Cold War. That's done. But Larry's going to have some more interesting stuff to bring up in the coming weeks. And he's going to be back on regularly this year, as I told everybody, now that he's feeling better and his strength is up. And so we're going to take advantage of that with Larry. And we're going to take advantage of Mike being on here as often as we can because I love the stuff you do, man. Whether it's news or it's the books you write. And by the way, I only recommend those two books highly, but Mike's written a bunch of stuff, including, a history of Danville, Virginia. Also there's a book still on Amazon, that book that your dad wrote, right?
Yeah, it's about the Roman Empire, yeah.
Yeah, about the Roman Empire, but you wrote the foreword, right? And it's the book by your dad, and you published that. Also, the you know, Judith Berry Baker in her own words, Walt Brown's book. You know, a bunch of stuff like that that Mike has put out. But I love the stuff you write. I love the stuff you publish. I urge people, go to WallStreetWindow.com. Be in the know. A lot of news stories and stuff there. You want to tell anybody about, like, maybe a couple things that have come up in the past few days over at Wall Street Window? I haven't been keeping track of J.G. Michael. Has he contributed lately? Parallax Views?
Not this week.
Not this week.
Okay. I mean, I just got if you go there now, there's some articles about the Federal Reserve. Actually, Carmine's got an article, Carmine Savastano.
Oh, there you go.
About the Miller Center person. There's someone from the UVA Miller Center did a stupid interview about the Kennedy assassination saying that there's nothing in the files and, that the only reason people doubt the lone assassins because they have a psychological need to.
Oh, here we go with this again. Yeah, okay.
That kind of crap. You know? But I mean, that's what the guy said. Representing the Miller Center.
Yeah, the Gerald Posner defense, right, is that people can't comprehend that such a loser like Oswald took down a great man, so therefore they have to make up things to explain it, right? I mean, is that about the summary there?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, no problem. But look, I'm sure Carmine explaining that and examining that ought to be really interesting. So that's up at WallStreetWindow.com. Anything else you want to point to before we close this one out?
Oh, that about wraps it up for me tonight.
All right, fair enough. Mike Swanson, though, love to have him on. We're going to have him on again next week and every week that we can. You know, I'm making a deck of cards, Mike. I'm trying to see how much it'll cost to make a deck of playing cards to celebrate 10 years of doing this here. And maybe we'll figure out a way to make them available to people if we can make them affordable. You know, Mike Swanson's got a card in that deck. At least one, just so everybody knows. Lots of people will be represented, their images, like, say, on different cards, different suits. I haven't picked out which card you're going to go on yet, Mike, but you know the Ace of Spades, I'm taking that one. But you're definitely on there. Sometimes we talk about poker with Mike, too. You never know what we're going to discuss here on Thursdays with Mike. Always great to go through the financial circumstances of the day with you. I know it that probably puts you to sleep anymore. You're tired of talking about it, but I love all these discussions, and we never script it. It's just kind of like, what's on your mind, Mike? Let's go. I love doing this with you, and so glad that I've been doing this with you for years, man. So I look forward to next week.
Appreciate it.
And I hope you guys do too. Mike Swanson, WallStreetWindow.com, again, the author of The War State and also Why the Vietnam War. Two great books that we do highly recommend at Ocelli.com. Mike, thanks, man.
Yeah, good talk with you.
Absolutely. Anyways, you guys enjoy yourselves, and we'll be back at you again tomorrow night on The Ocelli Effect. Not sure what the topic will be, but the open lines on Friday still prevail, and we're going to be a little more focused about that. A couple other changes coming up on the network, too. Stay tuned and find out what they are.